He's our Aussie correspondent. His name is Chris Russell. He is my longest-serving correspondent to this show. Joined the team in August 1994. The show, incidentally, started in April 1994. Chris, you and I both do our fair share of public speaking. My presentation is called From Farming to the Farming Show to Taking It to the Country. We won't dwell on that one. Your one is on climate change. Your topic is, can we have our cake and heat it too? And they tell me you are in hot demand on the public speaking circuit in Sydney. Good afternoon.
Yes, g'day, Jamie. Well, I've no idea. Hot demand in as much as I guess what I've been talking about is the risk that our intelligence as a human race could end up being our Achilles heel if we actually think we've got the ability to turn climate change on its head. In other words, adapt the climate to fit us rather than following the normal Darwinian theory of fitting us to adapt to the climate we're presented with. Nothing wrong, of course, with the things we're doing, with emissions control, but to put all those eggs in one basket, Jamie, I'm suggesting is probably high risk, and we should be making sure we also have a plan B, which means adapting to what may end up being inevitable climate change, you know, 2-3 degree increases and so on.
And that's going to have a huge effect, isn't it, on agriculture and the primary sector, particularly you think of Australasia, just as an example, where we can and can't grow crops in the future.
Well, if you look at the rain map as it's been developing, the lower parts of Australia, which used to be where all the rain fell, are now having their driest years on record year after year. And the upper parts of the country, which used to be the dry parts, are now getting the rain. So this is telling us, you know, where the farming may be going to happen. The Ord River may be the place of the future, the Burdekin, all those northern tropical areas, and places like the Sunraysia down around Mildura and along the Murray River there may become increasingly unreliable and may end up not being what they have been in the past, the home of things like citrus and those sort of crops. So we need to be aware of that, and we need to have a plan B to adjust and help those farmers either adjust different crops or move if necessary, if that turns out to be the case.
Well, it sounds like you folk in Sydney are going to have to get used to the rain if you're going to get a third La Nina in a row.
Well, that's what the experts are saying us. They've declared and moved us to alert level now, which is up from watch level we were before. They have these various levels of warning us about either a La Nina or an El Nino. A La Nina, of course, is when the warmer ocean currents move closer to Australia, causing the water vapour to rise. It then blows over Australia and gives us more rain. And the La Nina is the opposite, when the warmer currents move closer to America and we get the colder ocean currents near Australia, and of course that means the rain will fall over the ocean and we won't see it, you know, on the land. And that, in simple terms, that's what it's about. But it's also tied up with the Indian Ocean effects. So they're now saying we look like we're in the third year. That's only happened twice before in the history since they've been monitoring these La Ninas and El Ninos, once in 76 and once I think in the mid-80s. So it's not a very common event to have three in a row, but looks like that may be what we're in for again, Jamie.
Chris Russell, thank you very much for your time from Oz.
No worries, Jamie.